armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to save
idea?
The
bubble.
Really, this
do
is
you
what
have
you're
any
doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. DeAndre Fox says that he cannot stand watching college basketball. It's ironic, because nobody can stand watching the NBA.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Well, I would be better if the Miami Hurricanes had not made it to the Final Four, but it happens, and hopefully, God willing, someone will take them out, mainly UConn, on Saturday night. For DeAndre Fox to trash college basketball and what we saw this weekend just tells you how clueless these NBA players are. Now, if you're wondering who he is, well, that's kind of more to my point. He plays for the Sacramento Kings. I'm sorry, De'Aaron Fox. I didn't get his first name right. De'Aaron Fox. And he is a good player. Don't get me wrong on that. He's a very good player. But De'Aaron Fox, I guess, was watching the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and tweeted this out. I'm not exactly sure when he tweeted out. I just know he tweeted out over the weekend. And he has got to have absolutely lost his mind, because college basketball is everything that's right with basketball right now. They play. There's none of this nonsense of load management and whatnot. And maybe that's because they play the right amount of games. Maybe the NBA just plays too many darn games. So that's item number one. Item number two, the NBA doesn't play defense until the playoffs start, so it's unwatchable. And then, of course, item number three with the NBA is all of the stuff that goes on with the players, a lot of the drama that everyone's just sick of it. Mainly, I would say, whenever their team is not doing well, somebody always wants a trade. And so basically, nobody ever wants to build anything. No one ever wants to be the guy. And they just want to be put in a perfect situation where they're essentially on an all-star team. And if the elite players had it their way, there'd be four good teams in the NBA. And they would all play on the same teams. And we would just wait until the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. So, for someone who plays for the Sacramento Kings to say that they can't stand to watch basketball, college basketball, that's irony in itself, because very few people are watching the Sacramento Kings, even with the good season that they're having. They're not on national television. And if they're not on national television, what it has shown, the numbers over the years, is that nobody watches the local feeds. They just don't. They sit around and they wait for the big matchup on TNT on a Thursday night. And that's all NBA gets. They get zero views on the actual day-to-day games themselves, unlike baseball, unlike football, unlike college basketball, for that matter. So that's item number one. Item number two today, I did want to real quick go over the opening day starters, and we'll get more into this as the week goes on, but it will be Max Fried versus Patrick Corbin. Max Fried versus Patrick Corbin. And that'll be opening day 105 first pitch. We'll have it right here. Play by play, pitch by pitch. Pre-game show on Braves Country HD will probably start around 12:30. And it'll take you all the way up to first pitch. And then we will have first pitch here. We will have every pitch here on opening day. And they are expecting pretty good weather up there in D.C. It'll be chilly, but they're not expecting a lot of rain, so we hope that that continues. I'll check it again today. I haven't checked it since Saturday or Sunday morning, I think is what last time I checked it. But that's what we're looking forward to, Max Fried versus Patrick Corbin. And Corbin has been terrible, but he's actually pitched pretty good in spring training. And on opening day with the Diamondbacks, he's 1-1 with a 3.72 ERA. Now, that's many years ago, and we get that. But still, Patrick Corbin versus Fried, so you'll get a couple of lefties on the mound, which means I would tend to think they're going to do one or two things in left field that day. They're either going to go ahead and put Pilar in, because I do believe he's going to make the team. We'll know more about that here tomorrow. They could put Pilar in, or they could put Ozuna in and have either Murphy or Travis d'Arnaud DH. So if you end up doing Ozuna as the designated hitter, and he has been swinging the bat well, then you're going to be losing a little bit out there in left field. It really just comes down to the philosophy, and we'll see it unfold in front of our eyes every single day. We'll see what they really decide to do with Ozuna. Right now, he's swinging the bat pretty well, so that's going to help him stay in the lineup, but we'll put him in left field. Do they trust his defense? That's a totally different story. In a perfect world, they trust his defense. You put him in left field against lefties. You put Rosario out there against righties, and d'Arnaud and Murphy can catch or DH back and forth. That's the most lethal combination. And by the way, Rosario is swinging a pretty darn good bat himself. I just figured they're most likely going to bench Rosario against lefties. They may not do it on opening day. They may decide to go ahead and let him start, but we'll have to see how that unfolds. The other news, if you missed this, baseball fans, this isn't just Braves fans, Apple is going to start charging you now. Last year, I guess it was free on their Friday night games. And when they do a Friday night game, there's no other way to see it. So if you don't have Apple Plus, you won't get your baseball team that week. And they're sprinkling in the Braves quite a few games. I think there's about four or five Friday night games. Now, the good news is we will have play-by-play right here on Friday nights. So if you do want to catch the game, we obviously do not do the video because the social media will take it down immediately if you start doing live video of something, but we will have pitch by pitch, play by play. So if you want to listen to the game, just tune in. And if you haven't already, like and subscribe to Braves Country HD. All right. We're going to see, and one other small note, you're going to hear us start referring to this show as Braves Country Today because there's been confusion. So the channel is Braves Country HD. The show is Braves Country Today. And if we're doing a game, that's in reference to Braves Country Baseball. Don't expect you to learn all that in one sitting, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, Sergeant Timus Wooten of the U.S. Army, the Sarge, will be here with us, and we will be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Keep it locked in here on WQEE.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You got to keep on your toes.
You get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. So much, I'm going to have to speed things up. You can get the Farmers Signal app, and that could get you up to 15% off your auto policy. That's just for using the app and driving like the normal speed limit, hearing, full stop, making lane change, signaling human being you are. Get a whole lot of something with Farmers Policy Perks. Start with a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey, Braves fans. Thank you for listening to Braves Country Baseball. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we are here to bring you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves, bringing you spring training and 2 to 3 games a week all season long. Please like and subscribe today. Braves Country Baseball.
Dread running to the post office? Stamps.com brings post office and UPS services right to your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and get up to 40% off USPS and up to 62% off UPS rates. Nearly 1 million small businesses use Stamps.com to save time and money. It's a no-brainer. So skip the post office and visit stamps.com.
Sit shark!
I'm not playing your stupid game!
That? That's the sound of NyQuil Severe hard at work. NyQuil Severe is the best sleep with a cold medicine. No tossing and turning, just rest and recovery. So you're ready to take on tomorrow. For powerful relief of your worst cold and flu symptoms, try NyQuil Severe. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, best sleep with a cold? Medicine. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You're listening to WQEE in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m.
Nobody's got anything bad to say about Dustin Pedroia. Okay, if he had mentioned Dustin Pedroia, I wouldn't have said a word, but the fact that he mentioned Big Poppy in the steroid era, when you want to bring that clown, that joke of a player up, they broke a great player. Ted Williams was one of the greatest players ever. And the fact that you would bring the fact up that he broke his record after he's pumping steroids in his behind, I don't want to hear about it.
Telling Boone to pick a better Red Sox.
Because you could have picked Ken better Red Sox than Big Poppy.
I like him. I'm a Red Sox fan.
Of course you
like
him. You like the Gators. You like Aerosmith. There's a lot of things you like that the rest of the world doesn't. I just saw it over there. Dude looks like a lady. I'm just saying.
I don't know much, but I know one thing. Billy Bills gets to show game ball today.
Armchair.
Welcome back! That was a very old clip of our old Armchair Quarterback show. God bless. I bet that's close to 10 years ago. Probably not quite. And that was the Sarge and Billy going at it. Billy never gets a chance to come on anymore because of the time of the show and whatnot. How are you, Mr. Sarge and Demus Wooten?
I'm doing good.
Do you remember that little rat-a-tat-tat back and forth?
I do, yeah. That was one of many, but yes, I remember.
Yes, it was. That is absolutely true. That was one of many for sure. I come across some of these from time to time. I have to go on a totally different site. Got to go way deep in the weeds to find these. And I found that one. I was like, man, I got to play that Monday. That is there's another one where you get to cackling so hard that that's all you can really hear is you laughing. I play it every once in a while. I don't know if you remember it, but.
That was when we had Casey on, and that's when the show was like 7 a.m. on a Saturday, and Casey called in. He hadn't been to bed yet. He was still
I don't like, think
all of a sudden we thought he died on the air because he just passed out mid sentence, and then you could hear Warren in the background. But out of his mouth was flipping hilarious.
Yeah, the one that I'm referring to that we play on here from time to time, I was asking y'all about a cage match, who would win in a cage match, and it registers in your head who's about to square off in this cage match, and you just lose it. And then when I put the other side, it gets even worse. I'll have to play it for you sometime. I don't know if I think I've just got like a part of a big clip and I don't know where it is, but I'll have to play it for you. The next time I find it, I'll make sure to store it away. Cause let me put it this way. Caitlyn Jenner was involved.
Oh Lord. Yeah. Well, that's always good for a chuckle.
the, the good old days before Caitlyn Jenner became, evidently she is a he, she, I'm not sure what they go as, but she tried to run. I don't think she was successful, but she tried to get a nomination for governor of California on all things the Republican ticket. And I was like, that's a new one. That's a new one for me, man. That's a new one for me. That's all I'm going to put that out there. That is a different way to go. Like, man,
our way to go. Yeah.
Sure. You have to be extremely conservative to get accepted on that ticket. That's all I got to say. Like, you've got to be, I don't know what your platform has to be, but it's got to be something outrageous. We're like, yeah, let's go. Come on.
I think she lost a bet or something.
She's been on a couple of shows over the last few years. I've actually caught her. Like, she's actually pretty darn intelligent and she's got things to say, but I don't know if people can get past, because it's the original, and it's not just even the whole transformation thing, but I think they have a hard time getting around the whole Kardashian whole thing, you know, that whole.
Yeah, that's probably more damaging to her than anything. I mean,
yeah, I can't even remember if I've ever even seen an episode, but I know who the Kardashians are. Right.
I mean, you haven't lived on the moon in the last 20 years. I've never seen an episode, and I don't care. You know, if it's your body, go nuts, chop whatever you want, add whatever you want. That's not my business. But I have it's a big mountain to climb to become a Republican candidate in California.
I was as surprised as anyone, man. I was like, all right, look at this. I'll tell you what it would do, though. It would really broaden their, I guess those aren't called fan bases. I don't know. I'm not enough of a political guy to really get into those weeds, but I found it very interesting that I was like, wait a minute, what did I just see scrolling across the line? She's going to do what in the what? I was like, and it's in California. This is even better. I just sat there and watched for 15 minutes. I was like, man, If this goes through, I almost want to move there just to watch it all unfold.
Slow train wreck, just to roll it down.
No. I mean, what do you think her slogan would have been? I can't be anything worse than what you've already got.
I'll be better than Schwarzenegger. I don't know.
I can't be worse than what's currently in office.
Yeah.
You'll be allowed to come out of your house.
Or maybe she just gets on camera and her slogan is, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Anyways, we'll get out of those weeds. Let's go into, so Braves Red Sox just happened to be playing. I didn't even realize that today. And I guess they're playing the next 2 days. I did have it sharing on the screen. I don't know what happened there. Why I don't have it, says I'm sharing, but I don't know why we can't see the score. So maybe I just need to pick a different outlet here. We'll figure it out in a second. There we go. All right. So Braves lead at 6-1. Did you catch any of this game today?
I've been working all day. Nope.
I found that the only thing that stuck out to me, because obviously at this point, spring training, like everyone's just trying to, man, they're like, give me my swings. Let's get on the plane. Kenley Jansen threw like 40 pitches. That's a lot for a reliever, period. But that's especially a lot for a reliever just a few days away from opening day.
I don't understand that at all.
I don't know. I don't either, because I was listening to I don't even know if they had it on Nesson. I was watching the Braves broadcast, and they're the ones that actually like nonchalantly brought it up. They said he's at 35 pitches. He had just loaded the bases, and they were under the impression he was coming out. And I was in the middle of doing show prep, to be honest with you. I can't remember what was going on. I think there was a mound visit, and then Cora went back to the dugout and he stayed in, and that's what brought the conversation to the whole, well, I guess he's going to see one more pitcher or one more batter. And then one of the guys in the booth said, well, I can't imagine they'll let him go much longer than this. This has to be the last batter because once you get over 40 pitches, opening day is just right around the corner. I'm like, man, 40 pitches, that's a lot. And so I looked at it. I was like, sure enough, he was like 36 as they're mentioning it. I was like, man, that is a lot for a reliever.
Yeah, maybe he was just wanting to see.
Is Boston playing Thursday or are they waiting till Friday?
No, Boston, you're talking about opening day?
Yeah.
They play Thursday, they're off Friday, and then they play.
So they're doing exactly what almost every, because Atlanta's the same thing Thursday and all. So, okay, that was the only thing that I hadn't thought about. I should have looked, but I was wondering, you know, if opening, because there's a couple of teams that aren't going to play on Thursday and their opening day is Friday. And so then you're talking about having 3 days of rest, right?
Right.
But, man, that's 2 days of rest with 40 pitches. I don't know if you want them out there. That's crazy.
I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to see, okay, when the season starts, okay, I know I have to get him out by this amount of pitches. Maybe that was it.
I could see that, but honestly, don't you think you would do that last week? Not
sooner. Maybe he ran over his foot in the parking lot or something, and he was really angry.
There's one other thing that could be going on. Cora might be going into the season thinking, all right, so our pitching staff is relatively healthy, and that never happened. So let's see if we can get Kenley Jansen hurt right before.
Right off the bat.
Let's go and see if we can get our closer all banged up.
Yeah, it's a strong strategy.
I was dumbfounded by it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear his explanation for letting him go 40 pitches. I don't think relievers would go 40 pitches in a playoff game, would they? I mean,
well, not unless it was drastic,
right? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe there's some theory that they want to see how he bounces back of doing more than one inning, right?
Maybe they already had it planned out that he wasn't going to pitch on Thursday anyway or something weird. I don't know. I mean,
he's your closer. You just spent $15-16 million on him. If the game comes down to the end, I would think Kenley Jansen is going to be the guy. So
you make a point.
That's a strange one. Now, granted, they're going to have Friday off as well. Maybe they're like, man, Corey Kluber's starting. There's no way we're going to win that game up.
Hooray!
I mean, it's just, I don't, it's bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, he's off, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, man, you have your closer going 40 pitches. That's crazy. All right, so you wanted to bat around the idea of the importance of the leadoff hitter, and what exactly, because we do this through text, y'all, so, you know, this isn't trying to set up anything. I'm just curious, what exactly did you mean by that as far as, because the text was a little cryptic, so I wasn't 100% sure what you meant. What did you mean by the importance of the leadoff hitter, et cetera?
Well, I mean, in my defense, I may have had a few whiskeys when I was texting that to you, just going to say. Here's the thing. People were going on and on about, because Cora saying he might do leadoff hitter by committee. And a lot of people were like, oh, that's a terrible idea. You need this. You need this. Am I mistaken? There's only the leadoff hitter. It only happens the first at bat, right?
Well, in theory, sure. But with the leadoff hitter, okay, so years ago, we'll say 25 years ago, the shift really started, I guess, probably more around 15 years ago. The leadoff hitter was always the guy that could get on base the most, had the high OBP, had speed to set up stealing second, and didn't strike out a lot. That theory has kind of been trashed by a lot of guys that run clubs nowadays. And what they really think of when they think of a leadoff hitter is the guy that they want you to face the most times. Because if, you know, logically, mm-hmm. if you're the first guy to take the at bat, you're the one who has the best chance of getting at least four at bats. And you obviously are the guy that has the best chance of ever stepping up that plate five times in a game.
Okay.
So guy that, now, there's different philosophies. Do you want a guy with power? The Braves do Acuna, right? And he has actually gotten better over the years of working his way onto base. But let's be honest, he's a power guy. Same thing with Schwarber of the Phillies. He was their leadoff guy last year. He led the National League in home runs, 46 home runs, low batting average. But they looked at it as if they could go out there and you have to face him the most times, then let's go, right? So do you have the candidates that they're talking about leading off?
Well, they said the – I'm trying to think of the – what's the new Japanese player we just got? I can't think of his name right
now. Taka Yoshida, I think.
That's it, yes. And –
one of my new favorite players. I love watching that guy play. Every time he comes up, I'm just very interested. He's a very compact swing. I really like his swing.
Yeah, I really like him. They were saying Rob Refsnyder, Christian Arroyo, Jalen Davis. But that was – now the Yoshida thing came in. So I think he's going to go with, like, matchups.
Did they change the opening day starter, by the way? Because ESPN is showing Chris Sale.
No. It's Kluber. Chris Sale goes on Saturday.
Okay. I was just making sure I didn't miss something.
Yeah.
What they have is Sale, Kluber, Pivetta. Then a bunch of guys on the IL. Kenley Jansen's evidently going to start for the fourth game of the season. I don't know what they're doing, Kenley. So you've got – okay, so we're talking about – I would assume that Rafael Devers is going to be the number three hitter.
He was number three last year, I think.
And so Yoshida, both people probably aren't familiar with him, but he is a switch hitter. Man, he is a lot smaller than he looks. He's 5'8", 176.
Yeah,
he looks jacked for a 176. Like, if I was to guess, and you asked me what he looked like when I saw him, I watched the game, I think that was Friday night, and he would come to the plate. I thought he was every bit of 205, 210, and I thought he was actually closer to 6 feet, but he's got 5'8". So if he's 5'8", you know they're lying. They're always lying about that. So he's probably 5'7", 5'6½", something like that.
And now leading off for the Boston Red Sox, Prince.
Oh, man, is he going to get someone fired on Major League Baseball radio this year? Have you seen where he's from?
No.
His city? I'll spell it out for you because I do not know how to pronounce it. I can take a wild guess, but I don't want to start playing around with it while we're on air. It's F-U-K-U-I.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's going to get someone canned in the middle of the fifth inning.
Yeah.
Red Sox-Yankees game or something. They'll just be, they'll just blurt out and they go, whoa, that can't be right. That's up there with
the retired. That's all I'm saying, because he would have been the one if anybody was going to do it.
That's going to be right up there with the Jazz Chisholm that everyone seems to screw up and reverse the J and the CH. Or what was that guy for the Reds that got fired last year? I guess it was late 2021. You remember that whole debacle?
Nobody watches the Reds, man. I don't know.
No, nobody was watching the Reds, but someone had actually screen caught it and put it on Twitter, and the rest is, 35 seconds later, he's taken off the air. 45 minutes later, he's releasing a statement.
I can't remember what he said, but I do.
I do remember what he said, but I would never repeat it because it was.
Yeah, if it got him taken off the air, let's not repeat it on this show.
It was really awful, and it was just like, what in the world? Because he thought he was off air.
Yeah.
Still didn't make it right, but he thought he was off air.
Sure. Yeah.
And the thing about that guy is his dad was a legendary broadcaster for decades in Major League Baseball. So my point is, he ought to know, man. Always assume your mic is hot.
Always.
So to me, if I'm the Red Sox and I'm Corn, I'm setting the lineup. I'm either putting Yoshida or Verdugo as my leadoff hitter. Just looking at the talent y'all have, I don't hate the Rev Snyder. I actually like him, but I think I would. He does know how to get on base. He's not projected as a starter though, so he's projected. Because Duvall is going to be in center, Yoshida in left, Verdugo in right. Rev Snyder is like the extra guy. And then, of course, Justin Turner's your DH on most nights.
Yeah. You saw that today Bobby Dalbec got sent down. Yu Chang took his final position in the infield.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bigger deal than a lot of folks may realize.
Yeah, and especially, yeah, if you're a Boston fan, it is.
What is this? Mondesi's already hurt. You see this? Mondesi, the kid that they got over from Kansas City in the offseason, he's already injured?
No, I haven't seen that.
That's always been his... literally Achilles heel. He's always injured. And
yeah, that's right. Cause that was the whole thing. We had a whole show about that.
And I'm finding out right now from Yahoo Sports what his deal is. Why is he on the injured list? God, this isn't something. Here we go. All right, you ready for this little nugget? Good Lord, could you get more? Well, they don't have an update, so this is something that's obviously gone down a while back. But anyways, I'll figure it out at the break. Let's go ahead and take that quick break. I'll find out what's going on with that, and then we're gonna get the 2023 Major League Baseball predictions from you. When we come back, keep it locked in here on the Key in Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. You're listening to Braves Country Today.
Are you listening to yourself?
I always listen to myself. It's one of the great joys of my life.
Armchair Quarterbacks Radio covers the whole SEC the whole season long.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Jawan Jennings.
Just the start of things. First quarter at the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville as Walker digs to the right. Hits outside. The 35. Look out. He's past midfield and he's got a blocker. Cuts to the inside. Herschel Walker. There he goes again.
Straight up the middle. Touchdown. Delayed reaction, but Tebow got in. Whole jump pass. How about that? Oh, my gosh. That looks like 1955. Holy cow. Are you kidding me?
Armchair.
SEC! SEC!
What does it take to break you? What does it take to break your focus because you get frustrated about what happened on the last play? What does it take to make you give in because it's hot outside or you're tired? Or you don't feel like running to the ball or giving effort or finishing the play like you should because of how you feel, whether you're a little bit hurt? What does it take to break you? It's going to be difficult because you're getting yourself ready to play an entire season at a high level. So everybody here has got to have a lot of mental toughness to be able to sustain what we do at a high level.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Welcome back. And Sarge, what I found is... evidently, he's still recovering from his ACL injury from last year.
Didn't I know that before, though. I mean, it, now that you said that, it kind of rings a bell that they knew he wasn't going to start, but they wanted him anyway. But they knew he was prone to injury. They knew he wasn't going to start the season. That kind of rings a bell now.
So he, but the problem is I have not found anything newer than about 3 to 4 weeks ago. So what they're saying is they're going to ease him in, and they did not expect him to be ready for opening day. So I don't know what that means. I went down a couple of rabbit holes during the break to see if I could find some real answers on there, and to no avail. It looks like that he's going to start on the IL, and whether or not he'll be ready. I mean, you would hope at the most he's missing a month, but he played at the end of the season. So this isn't a torn ACL type of situation. I'm not really sure when I used to have him on my fantasy dynasty team, and I gave up on him. So honestly, I haven't read his tea leaves in quite some time. It was going into last season. Like, that's it. I've had enough. This guy is always injured. I'm out. And you can carry injured guys on these rosters, but you can only carry so many. And it finally came down to what am I doing here? Right. So anyways, if I find out stuff, I will send it to you. I'm sure I'll hear about it. We're doing our draft tomorrow night, so I'm sure I'll hear somebody mention it. For folks that do want to tune into that, this will just be on our YouTube channel, Braves Country HD. We are going to be doing our annual fantasy baseball draft. And honestly, if you're a baseball fan, you'll enjoy it because we just talk a lot of baseball. And we'll share the screen. Everyone can see who we're picking. But usually the whole time, it's talking smack. And it's also usually a lot of fun in just talking the world of baseball in general. So, and if you haven't ever played, I would suggest, and you're curious, check it out. You might get some tips and whatnot, and then you can sign up for free with any of these, you know, Yahoo, ESPN, what have you. And I would suggest if you've never played, you don't want to play for money, draft one team this year. Have fun with it. By the end of the season, you'll get it. And the only thing I warn you, it is very addictive. It gets very competitive. You start going, man, by September, all you're going to be thinking about is, I cannot wait till next season. I like fantasy football very much. I love fantasy baseball because it's every day. All right, T, let's go. We're going to get you on the brown cardboard for 2023. I jot everyone's predictions down.
That was going to be my first question, if you were going to say them.
Yeah, I always do, and then we get about halfway through the season, I usually set it on fire or something.
Yeah.
These things are wildly wrong.
For 200, please.
Yeah. Last year, I had predicted the Braves are going to go back-to-back, and I had them losing to the Astros, so I was pretty close. The one that shocked me last year was just in general how the National League played out. Because I think the Braves and Dodgers did a terrible job of anticipating what that week off was going to be. And they ran into two hot teams. This year, I would say both organizations are already planning for, if we are lucky enough to be one of the two teams that gets a bye, how do we go about it this year? I still say Major League Baseball takes too many days off in between the final day of the season and the second round of the playoffs starting.
I agree. I completely agree. It really plays a part in how.
I'll be honest with you. The way that, okay, I don't know if I've ever ran this by you before, but this is the way I would like for it to be done. All the games played in one city. I have no problem with that. For the first round. And the first night would be on Monday. Give them a day to travel. Do Tuesday night or even do a doubleheader that Tuesday. You're not going to be going up against any NFL. I was thinking doubleheader on Wednesday, but give me a doubleheader on Tuesday. And then if you do have a game that you have to, the rubber match, so to speak, you'd play that on Wednesday. You play it pretty early Wednesday afternoon, right? You get on the plane and your butts are playing Thursday night. And then that gives the advantage to the team that's waiting on you. And that's the way it should be. If you're going to give someone an advantage, give them a real advantage. Because last year it ended on a Wednesday. And I know it was weird because of lockup, but it ended on Wednesday. We started the playoffs on a Friday. They played one game on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Then they had another day off on Monday, and the Braves played the Phillies on a Tuesday. So their last meaningful game was actually Tuesday because we clinched the division, but whatever. Their last game was a Wednesday. They didn't play till 6 days later. That's not normal for baseball.
Yeah, it throws their whole pitcher system off, batters, all, yeah. But
look, the teams that advance, it should be more difficult. You should have to be going in there limping. I'll tell you who else screwed themselves is that I remember bringing it up at the time. We weren't on WQEE at the time, but I think it must have been the other show we were doing at the time. And I remember bringing it up, and I said it was a Friday show, and I said, I think the Mets are getting too cute and they're trying to outsmart themselves. And sure enough, if you remember how the Mets did it,
yeah,
they started Scherzer on Friday and went DeGrom on Saturday because they were thinking Scherzer gets the W, DeGrom closes it out. Or actually, they were waiting to see if they needed to pitch DeGrom. So they were going to, what they wanted to do was go Scherzer, Bassett, and then not have DeGrom pitch until the game against the Mets. I mean, the Dodgers on Tuesday. And so what happened, they lost Friday. They had to rush DeGrom into action on Saturday. He won. And then obviously they got knocked out. But I still feel like that the first game of those three game series is enormous. And they lost it in the Phillies. If you remember, they played the Cardinals and the Cardinals choked away a huge lead late in that game. Their bullpen just imploded and the Phillies got that W. It put so much pressure on the team the following night. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into your predictions for the American League Championship Series.
I have an all AL East this year. I don't think Houston's going to go back this year. They can only do it so many times, you know. They won the World Series, so there's usually a little bit of a hangover. And when's the last time anybody's repeated? So, I think they're going to run out of Houston's going to run out of gas toward the end is my prediction. So I think it's going to be the Yankees and the Blue Jays going at it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
From the AL East battling.
My National League.
What's that?
I said, if you think that's interesting, you wait till you hear my National League predictions.
All right. So you've got Toronto versus New York. Who wins that?
Jays in seven.
Okay, so you're picking the Jays too. Tones picked the Jays to Trosh picked the Jays to win it all. All right, so who's in the National League Championship Series?
I think the Padres are going to the NLCS. I also have a suspicion that it's going to be Padres and Phillies.
again, a rematch.
Yeah, I think the Phillies, something tells me, because I lived out there and I know it's a completely different team now and all this other stuff, but I just don't believe Padres can pull it off. They seem to shoot themselves in the foot a lot. So now it's a completely different team, so San Diego people don't get too upset. But I think the Phillies go back, and I think they wind up in probably five games taking this.
So you like the Phillies to win the World Series over the Blue Jays?
No, I'm talking about over the Padres.
Oh, who ends up winning the World Series?
That one, I'm going to say Phillies in six.
Okay. So you've got the Phillies
winning. It's going to be great. I think if it's Phillies and Jays, I think it would be, I don't have a dog in that fight, obviously, but I think it would be a fun series to watch. And wasn't that the last time they were in the World Series? Wasn't it 92 when Joe Carter hit it off Wild Thing? Wasn't that the last time?
Yeah, that was actually 93, but 93. Yeah.
Toronto
won. Come on, Joe, you'll never.
Yeah. But the Jays won in 92 and 93, right?
Yes, 92 was against Atlanta.
Yeah.
92 is the series not to be spoken of.
Right. Yeah.
Along with 91, 96, 99.
I'd laugh, but Red Sox fan, I got nothing but it.
Have you heard the country song that they came out with a few weeks ago called the 98 Braves?
No.
So it's not bad, but as a Braves fan, I just feel like that they missed the year. Justin and I talked about this last Wednesday. So the gist of the song is this guy thought him and his girl were going to make it, go the distance, and they fell short just like the 98 Braves. That's
the ball. Now that's not very nice.
And I contend that. Well, he doesn't say it in a like a mocking, you know, you can tell that he's a Braves fan. He's saying, yeah, I thought Chipper and Andrew and all the guys were going to win it. And, you know, they just came up short, that they ran into the Padres, et cetera, et cetera. But I felt like that they dropped the ball because, man, the 96 Braves are the team that always eats at me.
Ooh, they were good. Golly.
We would have been back-to-back champions, first of all. We had a 2-0 lead against the New York Yankees in Atlanta.
Yeah.
With the lead in game 3. We should have been up 3-0 and the rest is history. It should have been a thing. Instead, Jim Leyritz happened. The whole thing falls apart. We never win another game in that series.
Yeah, I thought they swept out, didn't they? If I'm remembering this series right, the Yankees went 4-0.
Yeah, we were down 4 games to. I mean, we were up 2-0. We lost
4-2.
Yeah. The next 4.
Yeah,
that was coming off of a series with the Cardinals where we were down 3-1 and won 3 in a row, and then win the first 2 in the World Series. And you're thinking, dude, this is it. Let's go. And then we can't get another W. We lose them all in Atlanta after getting the lead in game 3. And then game 4, Maddox hits the mound and he does Maddox types thing in the playoffs and just doesn't show up. And at that time, until 2021, that the game 2 of the World Series in 90, that was our last game that we had won in the World Series. Because we lose 4 in a row. And then obviously 97 and 98, we don't go. And then we get swept by the Yankees in 99. So we had a 6-game losing streak going into the World Series play until we took out the Astros in 21. But I'm like, dude, that's what you write a song about. Not that 98 Braves. The 98 Braves were fine. They were good. But I didn't think we were going to beat the Padres. The Padres were really good. And the Padres, by the way, they got swept too by the Yankees. That seemed to be a theme in the late 90s. Nobody could beat the Yankees.
Who do you have going for the American League?
What's that?
Who do you have going for the American League this year?
I'm going to be doing mine on Wednesday. Mine's a whole, I'm doing divisions. I'm doing everything on Wednesday. It's a whole, leading up to opening day. I'm getting all of y'all's because I'm here every day, and I don't want to tell the listeners every single day who I've got going. So Wednesday is going to be my day. I will say this: I've got a surprise team making the playoffs in both the National League and the American League. I don't think they're teams that most people have on their radar making the playoffs, especially if you look at the betting odds. I think there's a couple of teams that have a chance to really right the ship. One of them has been a laughingstock recently, and they are really starting to put it together. And I think they've got a good – I like what they've done in the offseason. I can tell you this. My American League – I already did this last week, but my American League MVP is Julio Rodriguez from Seattle. Dude is just phenomenal. And I feel like that's the next step he's going to take. The only thing that hurts him is he plays in Seattle.
Yeah. It doesn't help.
It's really hard to win an MVP when your games are never on prime time. So that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, when your games are on at midnight and you're not from Seattle, even if you're from Seattle and you're our age, you don't stay up that late. We don't even stay up that late on New Year's. Come on.
Yeah, the only time I get a chance to watch him, obviously, when the Braves play, right? Play them. But the other time that I get to watch them is if they've come east, or sometimes I'll catch a late afternoon game on a Sunday, and that's about it as far as West Coast baseball. It's very rare that I get a chance to. And look, Seattle's good, man. Seattle's got some very good players. They could be the team that unseats Houston, at least for the division. And I'm with you as far as thinking that Houston, I mean, you go to the World Series 2 years in a row, you lose Verlander. That's a tough, tough way to try to get back if you think about like the grand scheme of it.
And you're starting here without Altuve now.
And it's not the everyday players that you worry about to me. What I worry about is, can your pitching not only stay healthy,
hard enough to win one. Or
they get hit a wall, you know?
Sooner or later.
Houston is about as deep as they come when it comes to starting pitching. So
no denying that.
But I also feel like when it comes to winning the World Series, you need breaks to go your way. Can you continue to get those breaks just to get to the World Series? I don't know. We're coming up on the end of time. What is your walk-off, sir?
Well, my walk-off is this. This is one of my favorite weeks in sports because not only is baseball officially back on Thursday, it's the first round at Augusta. And so I will be flipping back and forth watching that as much
as after this Thursday.
Isn't it?
It's usually not. It's usually in April. I thought it was next Thursday.
I thought April was this month with this week.
No.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's next Thursday.
Dude, I haven't I had that whole day planned.
You startled me. I was like, man, that's too much going on in one day, man. The Masters opening day. Stop it.
Opening day's enough for me. I'm going to, baseball's back this week. That's my walk-off. Go Real Red quick. Sox.
Do the Red Sox make the playoffs?
I don't like that language.
Oops.
No, they do not.
All right. We will see you next week, sir. Enjoy right. opening day. We'll All be right. back in a flash when we come back. We got Tones on the way. We're going to talk some March Madness. We're also going to get his predictions for 2023. Keep it locked in.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon. And this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Last few days of spring training gets going today, 105 Eastern, Red Sox and Braves in Northport, Florida. Game starting at that very same time, Pirates and Twins in Fort Myers, Rays and Yankees in Tampa. The Cardinals are battling the Orioles in Sarasota. 107, you got the Phillies versus the Blue Jays and the late tilts out west. 310, Padres Mariners. 405, the Windy City Showdown, White Sox and Cubs. Rockies and Brewers at 410. Tonight, Royals and Rangers with Dodgers and Angels on ESPN+. 940, Guardians at the Diamondbacks at Chase Field as teams start heading back home. And the Giants will welcome in the Athletics in Oracle Park in San Fran. On the ice, the National Hockey League has six games all on the plus. At 7 Eastern, Panthers at the Senators, and Canadians at the Sabres. The puck drops at 7:30 in New York as the Islanders welcome in the Devils. And at 8 o'clock, Kraken at the Wild with the late tilts starting at 10, Avs at Ducks, Oilers at the Coyotes. Got a heavy slate on the hardwood in the association. Games of interest, Mavs are at the Pacers on NBA TV at 7. That doubleheader continues at 9:30 on NBA TV, 76ers at the Nuggets. Well, at 7:30, the Knicks host the Rockets, and at 9, you got Suns at Jazz. The late games are highlighted by Bulls and Clippers at 10:30. Lamar Jackson unleashed his latest surprise on his ongoing saga with the Baltimore Ravens on Monday, announcing that he requested a trade from the team back on March 2nd. Jackson, who represents himself, tweeted, quote, "The team has not been interested in meeting my value. I love the game of football. My dream is to help a team win the Super Bowl," unquote. John Harbaugh was asked about this immediately after it was tweeted. To no surprise, he had not seen it yet. Quote, "I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely. Just like everyone else, I'm looking forward to a resolution." The Ravens have placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on Jackson on March 7th. 5 days after Jackson said he made his trade request, which allowed him to negotiate with other teams. If Jackson signs an offer sheet, Baltimore would have 5 days to either match it or receive two first-round picks as compensation. If there is no offer sheet, Jackson would earn $32.4 million this season and play under that tag. Last September, a source told Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen that Jackson turned down an offer from the Baltimore Ravens that included $133 million guaranteed at signing, $175 million guaranteed for injury, and $200 million in total guarantees if he's on the roster on the fifth day of the 2026 league year. It remains to be seen if a team is willing to offer that kind of money and give up that kind of compensation for the 2019 NFL MVP. New York Jets coach Robert Saleh remains confident that Aaron Rodgers will be quarterback for the 2023 season as a New York Jet, and says he'd love to add Odell Beckham Jr. as well. Quote, "I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm confident that things are going to work out. You guys know me. I'm a very positive and optimistic person. So I'm confident that things will go the way we're hoping. But at the same time, it's not going to eat at me." It's been 13 days since the Packers quarterback, speaking on the Pat McAfee show, gave a public commitment to the New York Jets. Saleh has committed to Wilson as QB2 despite his profound struggles last season. He also doused speculation about Carl Lawson's roster spot, saying he wants the defensive end on the roster despite a 15.7 cap hit. Two of the biggest names in sports, Los Angeles Angels star Mike Trout and 15-time major champion Tiger Woods, are teaming up to build a private golf club in southern New Jersey. The pair announced Monday Trout National, the Reserve, will feature an 18-hole golf course that will be designed by Woods and his firm, TGR Design. The club will be built in Trout's birthplace of Vineland, New Jersey, which is about 40 miles south of Philadelphia. Construction is scheduled to begin this year. They hope the club will be open to members in 2025. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Rhino.
Who is on first?
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. Each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the screwball in all of us. Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com. Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly.
Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD. Want to chime in? Give us a call. 678-960-9700. That's 678-960-9700. Welcome back! Braves Country, we're just 3 days away from opening day. You missed it earlier? The Atlanta Braves won another game, another spring training game. Bats are starting to hit up. Matt Olson, by the way, hit another one out. I believe that's number 8 for him on the spring. I mean, it's time to get him shipped north to D.C. and get him ready for opening day. He is locked in. 1:05 Eastern, first pitch. We will have the call here. Opening day. And it's a huge day for opening day. Some really good matchups. Going to go over that real quick. Tones is on the way. We're going to get his predictions there. We're going to talk a little March Madness. You got the Final Four creeping closer. When opening day hits, I really realized, man, they need to do this Final Four before opening day. It's just the way it's always fallen. But years ago, what they used to do in Major League Baseball, I grew up with opening day beginning the day of the national title game. So you would have all a few days, and they wanted to hit the ground running going into the weekend. But I loved that, fan of both sports, because you would get opening day. The Braves would normally play somewhere between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern, really depend on if they were at home or on the road. But that's usually when they would play. So the game would be over with, and then you get ready for the national title game in college basketball. And to me, that was one of the best days of sports. They quit doing it like that maybe 5 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood. I remember at one point what they were trying to do is they were trying to go with there was a Sunday pre-opening day that they were trying to go with. They were trying to hit the Sunday crowd, and there was three games being played, or maybe it was two. And I didn't think that was a terrible idea. I really would have liked to see them go that route. If you're going to do it the way they're doing it, I mean, honestly, why not do opening day on a Sunday? and have the games wall to wall, everybody plays opening day, right? Everybody. And then Monday, you take the day off and you let the college national championship breathe. Maybe you do a couple of day games, but that's about it. And then Tuesday, you'd hit the ground running again. But we get opening day a little quicker this way. I just, as a fan, it was the ultimate day for me. Opening day baseball, college national championship. There was nothing better to me. Even when teams like the Miami Hurricanes are in it, I still love college basketball. So obviously, you know where my fandom's going. I'm going, go UConn, baby. Let's get some UConn going here. On the other side of the bracket, I don't really have a San Diego State FAU. I mean, I guess I should be pulling for Florida Atlantic. I just don't really care. The San Diego State team, my heart's kind of towards them because I made a lot of bets on them this year, and they covered a lot. And I had them going pretty deep in my bracket. I didn't have them going to the Final Four. I mean, this is one of the screwiest Final Fours there is. And once again, we'll be announcing the champion on Tuesday of who won our free to enter March Madness, getting that gift card to the Fanatics just in time for opening day. Or just in time for Braves opening day, because the Braves opening day starts next Thursday. And if you've missed this, next Thursday, we've got opening day, and then Friday, we are the Apple TV game. So already, and Apple has announced that this year you're going to have Apple TV Plus. I guess last year they had it on available to do free, now no longer the case. So if you don't have Apple TV Plus, you don't want to go through all that nonsense, we will have the game live here, pitch by pitch, inning by inning on the Friday night game. For those of y'all who have not kept up with it, or maybe you're just new finding us, we do live play-by-play radio-style Braves country baseball. We do it on Tuesday night and every Friday night. And then this year we're adding two bonus games. And typically what it's going to be the day game in the middle of the week, either Wednesday or Thursday. If not, then if they do not have a day game, then we'll adjust and probably do a Wednesday night game or whatnot. And then Saturday afternoon, typically, unless if they're playing Sunday night baseball, we do that over the Saturday night game, typically, because we know a lot of folks can't get the Sunday night game, and we want to make sure everyone can tune in. All right, we've got Tones joining us. Let's go ahead and get him in here. We're going to talk a little March Madness, get him rocking in here. Let me pull him in here real quick as Tones is like me during the day, running from one job to the other. Tones, how are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm great, brother. It's finally feeling a little nice out, like summertime ball here in Chicago. So I'm ready for baseball. I know we still got some great March Madness left in front of us as well. But, man, baseball is in the air, brother. It's like running from first to second, running from one job to another. I was safe. I beat the time, though.
The Cubs, I see, are at home on opening day against the Brew Crew.
Yes, sir. 120 Central, 220 Eastern.
That is a great, great opening day for – are they taking the day off like everyone – yep. So everybody in Major League Baseball, except for a few teams, is going to be off Friday. So weird. That's another reason why I don't think they should start the season on a Thursday.
And I think – you know, at least balance it a little more, right? Take a couple of those teams that are supposed to open Thursday and open them Friday. I mean, that Friday, too, a lot of people are looking for baseball. They might not have the day off, but they might take the day off just because it's opening day then. I think they're losing a little bit of an opportunity there.
Did you see that Apple TV is no longer offering the game when they go on Apple TV? It's now Apple TV Plus, which basically what that means is that folks are going to have to pay. I guess Apple TV has some kind of a network that's almost like a Pluto type thing where it's free to watch. I wasn't aware of that. And so this year it's not going to be available on that. You're going to have Apple TV Plus.
They're just making it harder and harder for us to get some games. I think are they still doing the NBC Sunday morning game of the week too that they did last year?
I believe so. And you have to have the Peacock app for that nonsense. I haven't seen what the Braves are involved in that, but I'm sure they are. I don't know if they've – the last time I heard anything about that, they hadn't nailed down that entire schedule. But why this becomes important for you and I – so Apple TV Plus does not begin till a week from Friday. They're not doing the Friday night game. I think it's mainly because they're like, dude, everyone's off. What's the point? But the following week, April 7th, Apple TV Plus, the doubleheader. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Texas Rangers at the Cubs at 2:20. Padres at the Braves at 7:20. God darn it.
Yeah, it's like, what? And not, they're doing day games now, too. They're expanding, too. It's like, geez, talk about a day ruiner. It's like, well, you know, I'll have to find a way around that one.
The press lead that I saw makes zero sense now because it said the reason why they were doing it is because it was opening day for the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley Field. Well, that's nonsense because it starts on Thursday.
Correct.
So I don't know what the reason. Look, I'll tell you one of the reasons probably is because I noticed later on down the road when the Braves play Houston on Apple TV Plus, they're going side by side with someone else that's playing at 7 o'clock. So I think they're realizing that they're not getting very good viewership on the West Coast games. So I'd say the Cubs Friday day game is going to be pretty common.
Yeah, and you wonder how common it will become on a thing like Apple TV, you know, like how many of those games Apple TV might pick up, because as you alluded to, the Cubs pretty much play, when they are home, the chunk of their Friday games, well, actually, all of their Friday home games, barring a rainout, are during the day. So if Apple wants to capitalize on day games, the Cubs might be a heavy, hot commodity for the product.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the... I had it this morning when I was looking this up, but the schedule, here it is. Okay, so I just gave you April 7th. Both the Braves and the Cubs are both going to be on there. The following week, you got San Fran and Detroit, Angels and Boston, and those are going side by side. The Detroit game starts at 6:30. The Boston game starts at 7. So they're not doing what they did last year where one game will start at 7, one at 10. Friday, the following week, that's the one I was referring to. Toronto and the Yankees are starting at the same time as Houston and the Braves. Mm. And then the week after that, Phillies and Astros, Cardinals and Dodgers, they're going to stagger about 2 hours in between. But the whole thing of this that I'm noticing is there's more East Coast or Central time zone games. Very few, as I scroll here, very few 10 o'clock Eastern, 9:30 Eastern type games.
Maybe they got a bad report on those or bad.
Oh, I'm sure they did. And I guess the contract probably stipulates that they get two games and they probably just thought it made more sense. Hey, let's do them back to back.
Yeah. Right. And I get their way of thinking. Back to back did seem like the good idea to me. Now, hey, who knows? You're going to have two good games on at once. I'm sure you'll get more total viewership, albeit it's going to be split amongst those two games most likely.
Well, because you're not going to get – baseball fans watch their team, so I don't think it really matters. So whoever made this decision, from their standpoint, it's better. Now, it screws the East Coast fans, but I get why they're doing it. There's a – when is this? This is – where's the one that I just saw? Anyways, I can't find it now, but it was both New York teams playing at the same time and being broadcasted on there.
Yeah, I got to stop being selfish and thinking of me as the only sports fan. You know, I try and watch everything, but most people, you're right, they just do watch your own baseball team respectively. So I got to be courtesy of that mindset.
Well, it's not, you know, baseball's not like basketball. Basketball people watch the stars. Baseball people watch their teams.
Correct.
So that's why ESPN always complained about the ratings of their games on Sunday night and Wednesday night,
because they didn't realize the big picture, which is I'm going to watch the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what outlet it comes on. And I prefer, most fans prefer to catch their own broadcast because ESPN does a terrible job.
Yeah, they're all biased and, you know, they suck up to the big money guys, it seems.
Right. So with that being said, let's say you do get two big dogs, two big markets. Let's say the Cubs are in it and they're going up against the Mets and they're in it, right? Let's say the game's in September.
Mm-hmm.
And ESPN comes back and goes, man, we didn't get very good ratings. It's because they were watching the game on their network.
Mm-hmm.
They were watching it on Marquee. And what is it SNY that does the Mets, I think, now?
Yeah, SNY.
So that's what they always get ticked off about. Well, we don't get very good ratings. Yeah, the game is getting great ratings. You're getting terrible ratings because you got A-Rod in the booth.
Yeah, listening to A-Rod, I mean – you know, hey, player aside, him in the broadcast booth is not my favorite option.
Dude, A-Rod always seems like he's got brain freeze. Like he just ate like way too much ice cream. He's trying to think of his next sentence. I just want to rip my arms off so I got something to throw at the television.
Oh, that's one of the better things I've heard in a while. That one's great.
I used to call him ice cream cone because of that. So it's like he just sucked down an entire ice cream cone. He's got brain freeze. He can't think of what he's trying to say. Before we hit the break, because it's about 4:20, we just passed that. What is your lock of the day?
Lock of the day, and you know me, McGee. I've been hot with the hockey. I mean, knock on wood, if I have wood around. So I'm going to stick
on ice.
Yep, knock on ice, baby. I love that. I'm going to stick with the ice here. I'm going with the Minnesota Wild straight up tonight. The win line is -122. They're home against the Seattle Kraken. That game takes place 8 o'clock Eastern time in Minnesota. The Wild need a win here. Let's see if they get one. They're -122 on the win line against Seattle, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Well, I don't have any college basketball to choose from, and I don't have baseball to choose from. So I'm going to give you a lock. But I don't stand by it very well. That's what I'm putting that. Because, honestly, if I can't find – and oh, man, none of the money lines are even – so all the – okay, so I'm going to have to do a true point spread in the NBA, and I trust none of it. All right, so you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let me take the Dallas Mavericks -4 on the road – Pacers. They just announced recently that Luka Doncic is going to be able to play. So,
and Buddy Hield's out, one of the Pacers' best players with an illness.
So I would honestly say take them on the money line and pair it up with something else on a parlay, but the money line's -180. So I didn't have enough time to adjust to that. So I'm not really sticking by it, but that's my pick of the day. All right, we'll be back in a flash. It's just past 4:20. Smug them if you got them. You're listening to Braves Country Baseball.
Woohoo!
That is sex.
Today.
So. There's a lot of thrashing and thumping, but nothing really is done. I'm like a broken dishwasher.
Armchair Quarterback Radio. We cover the world of baseball from start to finish.
Baerga is 0-3. Left center field. Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship. A lineup off Nagy's glove into center field. The Florida Marlins have won the World Series.
Brocious fittingly with a throw. The Yankees have done it again. Number 24. They are the world champions of baseball in 1998. Change of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2 on the ninth. Game 7 of the World Series. Bases loaded. Florida, center field. The Diamondbacks are world champions. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
I'm cheering.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Take the scenic route in the new Hyundai Santa Fe, the family SUV with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you travel way off the beaten path. Find new adventures together in the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country. With Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
I'm the dude, so that's what you call me, you know, that or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Lamar Jackson says that he wants a trade from the Ravens. Yeah, we know. Nobody wants to trade for him. Well, he said it's a tweet. ESPN used it as breaking news this afternoon when I got home. It's all over their screen. I was like, this isn't news. That's what the tag was about. You go find a deal. The problem is the Ravens have set it up where he's kind of screwed. And all I can say to Lamar Jackson is you need to get on your players union and come up with a better system. This needs to come up in the next meeting, because I did not realize until this year that this was a thing in the NFL, is that secondary tag that they put on him. So he makes less money. And the only way that for him to get out of there is to find a deal somewhere else, but they got to give up two number one picks.
The two first round picks. Yeah. And then all that money and guaranteed money.
So he wants 200 guaranteed, right? We'll say a deal around 240, 200 guaranteed. And I've got to give up two number one draft picks. Why would I do that?
Yeah, I don't know if I could give it up, but I will tell you this one thing. If you're looking, I'd only do it if I'm a couple of teams, right? And two of those teams, maybe I'd do it if maybe it would be Atlanta and Indianapolis, only because the divisions that they're in, I think if Atlanta or Indy made that move, I think they'd be near the top of the division all of a sudden. I know that they're still setting themselves back in the short-term future and in the long-term, but it would – set him up to compete right now, Atlanta and Indianapolis, I believe. Well, and Tennessee. You could throw Tennessee in there.
That I believe he's coming to Atlanta, but what I think is they're going to wait until after the draft, because you wait till after the draft and you make the move, then they don't get the 2023 first round. They get the 2024 and 2025, and if Lamar Jackson comes in and does great things in Atlanta, that number one pick or that first round pick is way deep into the first round is what you're banking on. And what you're really losing is essentially two number twos.
Yeah. You're right on that. That's a really good point. Now that you say it like that, I would wait until after the draft. What do you have to lose? And then, you know,
Atlanta's got what, the number eight pick overall. I'm not giving the number eight pick and all that money, but no. I'll give you the number 28 pick next year and the number you know, what you're hoping is he can bring home a Super Bowl. So the number 32 pick in one of these seasons.
And same case for the Colts, right? Because they have the fourth overall pick. So why would you want to give that up right now?
Except if you're the Colts, honestly, I'm drafting whatever quarterback's left.
I agree. I would take probably – if I think Richardson and them are a pretty good match right now.
If not, if you don't see the Colts draft a quarterback, then look out. That could be up there, right?
Correct.
I mean, heck, I would do the trade on draft night. You know what I mean? After I've picked and we're sitting at the end of the first round, maybe even going into day two, there's going to be flashing bottom line breaking news. Lamar Jackson to the Atlanta Falcons for the 2024-2025 first round draft pick. The one thing that I'm not sure of, I don't think you can, but I would wonder, could they work some kind of deal out where Atlanta also gets picks from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it has to be a separate deal. Maybe they have to trade Lamar Jackson and player X.
I think they could work it out into a complete trade where they can perhaps get some revenue back. Now, that's going to be sticky in terms of
– it would probably have to be two separate trades, but that's what I would be looking for if I'm Atlanta. Say, look, here's the deal. We're going to give you the two number ones at 24 and 25, but we really think that's kind of pricey. We would like to have a third round and maybe a fifth round back in that same trade. But we'll give you, and you just name the player. It wouldn't be a great player. I wouldn't be giving you a great player, but someone who could contribute for the Ravens this season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Desmond Ridder. Yeah. Let's be honest.
That's not a bad choice, honestly. And I know, you know, they have Snoop Huntley, the Pro Bowler, as a backup. But, yeah, you want a young QB in return if you're Baltimore on that deal.
And then I'd be scrambling for trying to find a way to bring Marcus Mariota back in because he's a perfect backup for Lamar Jackson.
Hey, Mr. Mariota, you want to get out of your agreement with the Phillies and come on over to Atlanta?
Right. If not, then I'm like, all right, here's the trade. We're going to give you Ridder. You're going to give us some picks, but we also want Huntley because we know we're going to need him around week 15.
And, yeah, you know, that's actually a really good point because when you have Lamar Jackson, nothing to discredit him, but you need a very good backup just in case.
I don't care. Discredit him all you want. He's never healthy at the end.
You're very true on that. So I guess it's not a discredit. If it's the truth, I guess it's not a discredit then, is it?
He's never healthy. He's extremely inaccurate, but I'm supposed to give you 200 guaranteed and give up two number one draft picks. Oh, okay. We're all signed up for that.
It's really screwed up how.
I think Tones froze up here for a second. It's always hard to tell because he's always looking down.
Sorry, I think I'm good now.
Yeah.
I was just saying it's really screwed up that a guy like Deshaun Watson screwed the whole market up. Leave it up to the Browns to do something like that.
Well, that's the thing. I don't remember what GM I heard, but some GM was talking about, is that an outlier, right? Or is this what the market start going to? I think it's an outlier. I don't think you're going to get any of these owners, any of these. Well, it's really the owners behind closed doors are going to say, Cleveland's an idiot, but we're not going to start doing business that way. And it may lead to a strike down the road when they come up for the next CBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the players might go, hey, we want more deals like Watson. And that could lead to an ugly strike in the NFL. But until that happens, why would you give the guaranteed money if you don't have to?
Yeah, and this is a weird story all of a sudden out of Chad Graff, a New England Patriots writer for The Athletic. He said in a tweet not too long ago, Patriots owner Robert Kraft said rapper Meek Mill texted him a few days ago saying that Lamar Jackson wanted to come to the Patriots, and Robert Kraft replied to him that it's up to Bill Belichick.
Oh, jeez.
So there we go. We got Meek Mill trying to represent Lamar Jackson now as well, allegedly.
Who is that? He's some kind of rapper or something?
Yeah, he's a rapper out of Philadelphia who, you know, he did the intro for the Eagles, not this past Super Bowl, but a couple Super Bowls ago when they had Nick Foles.
All you had to say is Philadelphia, and you've already lost my interest. That's like when people start talking about Final Four. I was like, you brought up Miami. I've already lost interest.
Oh, I love that.
Let's go ahead and start in on the 2023 MLB predictions, because we're going to end up having to hit the break at the midway point. So that's fine. Let's start with the American League. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see who your division winners are in the American League.
Yeah, so in the AL East, we will start. I have, although that's a powerhouse division, I really like what the Rays did this offseason, and I think that their batting could only get better because they're going to be healthier this year. You know, last year they were without Brandon Lowe. Last year they were without Franco for most of the year. And Randy Arozarena got off to an extremely slow start. So between Arozarena heating up in the World Baseball Classic, Franco and Brandon Lowe allegedly playing more games, I got the Rays taking home the division. I like their pitching a lot. They added Zach Eflin from the Phillies to shore up the back end of their rotation. They extended Jeffrey Springs. A guy like Shane McClanahan should only get a little bit better this year as well. And then Pete Fairbanks, one of their better bullpen arms, gets healthy this year as well. He missed most of last season with an injury. They get him back this year as well. I like the Rays, although you got the Red Sox, Yankees, Orioles, etc., Blue Jays. Give me the Rays out of the AL East.
Okay.
Moving on. The Central, I got the Guardians. And Terry Francona does wonders with his pitching staff. You could really plug in any of these pitchers, and it seems like Francona does wonders. It was in Boston with guys like Clay Buchholz, right? Now it's in Cleveland. Plug in anyone you want. Francona can make it work. And they have AL MVP perennial candidate Jose Ramirez to help strengthen their suit. So I'm a big Guardians guy and a believer in Francona. I think White Sox and Twins fight for the second place spot. I got the Guardians coming on top in the AL Central.
And the West, is it the Astros or are you going elsewhere?
As much as I love what the Rangers did. I like some patchups the Mariners did. The Angels are always intriguing with the likes of who they have. The A's can't even be mentioned. I just have to go with the Astros right now. You know, although they did lose a guy like Verlander, they offset that with a couple upcoming pitching prospects. And, oh, by the way, they had guys like Jose Abreu to their lineup. So it seems like right when the Astros lose a guy like Verlander, they bring in bigger names as well, like the Jose Abreu's of the world. I like the Astros, man. Their lineup is looking really nice, and their pitching for losing Verlander ain't bad as well, led by Framber Valdez, Christian Javier. Then they got one of the better closers in baseball, Ryan Presley, in the back end there.
All right. Real quick, hit me with your wild cards because we got to take a break.
I got the Yankees. I've got the Mariners. And I've got the Blue Jays.
Yankees, Mariners, and Blue Jays. All right, so we got two of them coming out of the AL East. Let's take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to get your ALCS and the National League predictions and, of course, the World Series. Be back in a flash here on Braves Country. We're 3 days away from opening day. Braves Country today. Let's roll.
Yeah, I don't do it anymore. I always said that I would shoot y'all straight, and that's what I'm doing here. You know, I always said that if this became not fun, I wouldn't do it anymore. And it's not fun. It's become more of a chore. It's a job. I've thought about it. I prayed over it. You know, sometimes in life you have to reevaluate things and figure out what's most important between, you know, family and work and just everything in life. This ain't it. So as of tonight, I am no longer participating in fantasy football. I don't have time for it. And maybe next year.
Armchair.
Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture.
This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Hey folks, this is Mark White with The Mark White Show, and you can tune in to The Mark White Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Rock 99 WQEE The Key, the home of Southern sports and talk.
Hi, you're listening to Armchair. We're here weekdays, Drive Time, your first choice for sports talk on the First Coast.
Welcome back here on Braves Country today. Braves Country today on Braves Country HD and WQEE. And Tone, so far, if you're just joining us, we're doing the Major League Baseball predictions for 2023. We'll be doing this all week, essentially. Tomorrow, we're going to get them from Joey. Wednesday, the whole show is nothing but an entire get you ready for opening day. Opening day, 105 first pitch right here, Braves Nationals. How about Bobby Wagner returning? Did you see this tweet by Cooper Kupp? I thought it was pretty funny.
What was it?
So earlier in the offseason, Bobby Wagner had said that he was going to retire. And Cooper Kupp said something about don't have to face him anymore. Let's go. And it was kind of like, you know, giving him respect, you know, but it's also just kind of a funny tweet. Well, when the news came out that he's coming back for a 1 year, $7 million deal with Seattle, Cooper Kupp came back and he tweeted his original tweet of not having to face Wagner anymore. And he said, well,
is there a delete button or an edit button, I should say?
Yeah, I was surprised by it because I'd not heard any indication that he was wanting to come back, but evidently he's ready to roll again. And Bobby Wagner can still play football. He's obviously not at the level he was during the Legion of Boom, but still, he's still a solid player. Wow, Tyrese Proctor's going to return for Duke for his sophomore season. That's some breaking news right there. Everyone assumed he was coming out. He must have gotten a bad report card on where he's being projected in the draft.
Yeah, and nowadays a lot of these college kids too, like you said, maybe he looked at his draft spot, wasn't an ideal one, and he's like, I can make a little more money playing in college next year instead
NIL.
Of you
know, yeah, NIL. NIL is going to turn college sports into the minor leagues is essentially what it's going to do. And I think the Braves are smart by the way that they've been drafting the last few years. They're drafting more guys in college who are ready to contribute in the next year or so, as opposed to look, it's just an old way of thinking. And I don't always understood it. It was hard to get into it as a fan. Mm-hmm. When they would talk about the Major League Baseball draft and your team draft, their first five or six picks are all dudes coming straight out of high school. And that's great for the 2028 Atlanta Braves. But when you're thinking about players who are going to contribute right away, you're like, oh, this stinks. In the last few years, they've been drafting. They especially like to draft their arms out of college.
Correct. Because they're fresher.
Well, that and
they're vetted, you know, vetted.
Yeah, it's more the fact that they're ready to roll within a very short period of time of being. It's very rare the guys are going to hit your team that year, but the thought process is if you draft, let's say we're talking about this year's 2023 June draft, we're talking about they get drafted, they'll get into some kind of a camp that year, and then 24. Most likely be in the minors the entire year unless they really hit the ground running. And then by 25, you got a guy who's ready to contribute out of the bullpen, the rotation, et cetera. But you're starting to see hitters as well get drafted much higher than used to. Teams didn't want to draft a guy in college because they looked at it, well, it's going to be 6 years before he's or 4 or 5 years before he's really ready to roll. If I draft a guy in college and that's the case, well, my God, the guy's going to be almost 30. But now they're looking at it as, okay, we can rush him, get him through, get him performing, and we can keep him on our end of the 6 year control mm-hmm. in the majors. If you can get 3-4 years out of a guy who's productive like that, that's ideal.
Free cheese, and you've seen it, like you said, they took a little break from it. You've seen it back in the day. White Sox tried to do it with Gordon Beckham a little bit. I like that it's coming back. I think it's a sneaky good idea to get these guys, and I meant fresher in terms of freshness, that they're ready for the MLB level. I think that's tremendous that a lot more of these teams are thinking like that, especially with the control and the money and all those purposes behind it.
Okay, let's go ahead and get the rest of your predictions. So you got the Rays, Guardians, and Astros winning the AL divisions. Tones took Houston, the Blue Jays, and the Mariners to make the wild card. Who's going to the World Series? Who's in the ALCS? Who punches their ticket to the big dance?
And now I'm a little worried I'm jinxing these guys. As word just came out, Tristan McKenzie is having an MRI after he felt some tightness yesterday. So not good for the Guardians there. But my ALCS will be none other than, drumroll please. No, I'm kidding. Give me the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, got to represent. And I think they have a legitimate chance. And I think they'll square up against a divisional foe out there. Give me the Rays Yankees in the epic ALCS division clash.
All right, so who wins the ALCS?
I got the Rays coming out of the AL this season. I think that they're pitching, man. There's just something about this team and that pitching. Look at how minimal their lineup produced last year, and they still made that much noise. If they could have scored a dang run or two, they would have easily beat the Guardians, and, you know, it's hard to win playoff baseball when you get shut out. I think their lineup gets a lot better with injury.
It's hardly impossible, I would think.
Yeah.
I think it's actually impossible to win a baseball game if you do not score.
Yeah, that was poor wording by me, and I'm still waiting on them to score. But I think that changes this year, and I like them to get back to the World Series where they were a couple of years ago.
All right. How about – by the way, G-Man Troy, I saw he's in Pittsburgh. He was in the game yesterday against the Braves.
Yeah, that was an interesting little pickup for the Pirates. Probably a guy they pick up, hope he gets hot, and then ship him somewhere in July.
There was a guy heckling him, and you could hear it because it was spring training, so it was so quiet, right? He grounded out to short, I believe. I'm trying to remember. Anyways, he grounded out in the infield, got thrown out, I mean, by a mile. Yeah, because G-Man Choi's, for people who aren't familiar with G-Man Choi, he's kind of a chubby dude. And you just hear this one lone heckler in the background goes, G-Man, you got to run faster than that if you're going to get it with the Braves, baby. I was dying laughing. I'm like, this is a spring training game, man. This guy's just roasted him because, I mean, he was literally just – boom, ba-dum, 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 you know, and I guarantee you Pittsburgh's dugout's like, no, don't be tearing your hamstrings. Just try to shut this guy up.
That is hilarious.
All right, National League. Who are the division winners?
In the NL Central, it pains me to say this, and I like that. I think it's going to be closer than people think, but I do have the Cardinals winning the Central. I think with Jordan Walker making the opening day roster amongst the Wilson Contreras edition, amongst other things, the Cardinals, although I think their pitching is a little weaker, they are set up to win the NL Central. I think it's.
How about Jordan? I don't mean to cut you off, but how about Jordan Walker and Volpe? Two guys everyone assumed was going to be down in the minors for a little bit just so that they could buy the time. They're both getting called up.
And I was this close to taking both of them in my fantasy draft, and then some other guy who likes taking young prospects snaked them both right before me. I think that Jordan Walker and Volpe can make incredible additions to their teams, especially Jordan Walker. I'd pay a close eye on St. Louis.
Is this a dynasty league you're talking about, or is this a –
It's a keeper league, so you keep three guys every year. So
I don't know if I'd be doing that.
Yeah, it's still a risk. It's still a risk for sure. But, you know, I have Ohtani in that league, so it's ESPN, so I get him as one. I don't have to draft pitching Ohtani and hitting Ohtani. I just get one Shohei.
ESPN's trash. Our dynasty league is 15 keepers. So there's a bit more of a reason why I would draft a guy like a Volpe or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I personally don't really think I'm going to, unless he just falls to me. Cause I'm loaded at shortstop, but a three-man keeper. Unless I'm like a diehard Cardinal fan, I don't know if I'm drafting. Is it a deep bench?
Yeah, we got a pretty deep bench, but you hit the nail on the head. He lives in St. Louis, so.
Oh, you left that little tidbit out.
Yeah, he is a White Sox fan, but he relocated to St. Louis. He
lives in St. Louis, and his college roommate was Volpe. So, yeah, there we go. Who wins the East?
I got the Braves winning the East. With the addition, you know, of Sean Murphy, not the bunting, but Sean Murphy, I think that's a great pickup. And I think Raisel Iglesias is a heck of a bullpen arm, although he's a little banged up right now. I think he comes back stronger than ever. I like that addition.
By the way, Murphy went deep today.
I think that's a heck of a pickup, man. And I know we talked about it. It was actually breaking news when me and you were on the show, but I think that's a heck of a pickup and getting overlooked.
Yeah, the more and more I've had time to analyze it and dig into it, I'm more for losing Contreras than I was back then.
Correct.
In a perfect world, honestly, I would much rather have kept Contreras and been able to keep him. Heck, I don't know, put Ozuna a part of a deal, get him off the books and have Contreras have a three-headed monster at catcher. I would have loved that, but I get it. You can't have all the toys. You just can't do it. You know, when we brought over Matt Olson, we had to give up some really good prospects who are doing well right now. So who wins the West?
I got the Dodgers, and I know there's competition with the Padres this year, but the Dodgers are just a juggernaut, and I know their bullpen does scare me, though, so keep a close eye on that. I think they could let some games slip out of their hands in the back end, that's for sure.
All right. Give me your wild cards.
I got the fighting Phillies as one. I think that getting Bryce Harper back in July will be all they need to do at the deadline in order to get them into the playoffs. They added Trey Turner. That was huge for them. I think their lineup is just below the Braves, but I like the Phillies there. And then I like the Padres as well, adding Xander Bogaerts and keeping a pretty good core together over there. Hard to see the Padres missing the playoffs. And then might be a little biased, but give me my Cubs of Chicago. We got Dansby Swanson. We got Jameson Taillon. We got Cody Bellinger. We got a couple guys to add to the back end of the bullpen. I think the Cubs did a lot of moves this past offseason and the last offseason to set themselves up to contend, and I think they sneak into that third NL wildcard spot. Not making the playoffs is the New York Mets. I think their old pitching ends up hurting them. I think Scherzer and Verlander fall apart down the stretch, and I think the Mets end up netting.
Okay, so your wildcards once again, Cubs,
Padres and Phillies.
Padres and Phillies. Okay. NLCS, who wins it?
NLCS, who wins it? Oof, that is when the tough gets made for me there. I like the Atlanta Braves over the Padres in a very wild NLCS where the Braves just get the job done. They get a stronger, more veteranship lineup than the Padres do, and I think the Braves end up making it to the World Series yet again.
So you got the Braves and the Rays in the World Series. Who cuts down the nets?
I need the Rays because I think that they've been knocking on the doorstep the past decade or so. They keep making it there. They keep making it there. They keep making it there every couple of years, and then they fall just short. The Braves just cut down the nets a couple of years ago, and that's why I think they're poised to almost nearly cut them down again this time around. But I think the Rays and their pitching staff happen to get the better of the Braves in the World Series. I think it would go a classic seven games. I think this would be a toe-to-toe slugfest where you got the Braves and the Rays going back and forth, and I would love nothing more than this World Series. I think it would be one of the more fun ones we've ever witnessed.
That would be I would like it. I would love to see a Southern World Series, and you'd be able to go back and forth pretty easily if you're a Rays or a Braves fan. You'd be able to bounce back and forth and travel. I don't know how much Major League Baseball would like it, but I don't really care.
They'd be yelling up the
storm. They tried to say that about Houston versus Atlanta, and that was one of the highest rated World Series. So I don't know if I buy into all that, but I'd say they'll be hurt a little bit because the Tampa Bay fan base just isn't there. Yep. By the way, Cubs lead the White Sox right now 5-0 in the spring training. Yeah, I noticed that they're playing today and tomorrow.
And Swanson hit a homer today, which was good. Yep, he hit one inning ago.
Favorite pitcher to try to pronounce is pitching on the mound right now for the Cubs.
I know, and for being one of my favorite guys on the team, I should be able to pronounce his name a little better.
You want to give it a go one more time?
I'll leave it up to you. Jameson Taillon.
Taillon. So when you see his name, just pretend that he's putting a tie on, like an actual tie.
And I just wrote it down in my notes as well.
It's almost like Taiwanese food, right? Thai food? That's where the T-I-A, I guess that's how he originated. I have no idea how it came about with the pronunciation.
It's funny, too, because me and my brother, he got a swan.
Tie on the mound. There you go.
I wanted a tie on jersey. They haven't even made him yet. So my brother's
one on yesterday. Is Brian in the chat yet?
Oh yeah, let me see.
We all met up for the Final Four game. We'll get more into it Friday. Who are you leaning right now for the Final Four?
Well, it's crazy because I'm in a couple pools. I have Miami in a pool. I have UConn in a pool. I think UConn's just playing too good to pick against him right now. And San Diego State's defense has impressed me to the point where I can't really pick against them right now either, although FAU's been fantastic. I got UConn and San Diego State squaring off in the big dance.
I know I'm definitely pulling for the winner of the early game, San Diego State versus FAU.
Mm-hmm.
But I need UConn to knock out Miami. Let's go.
They've just been, UConn's been playing incredible. So my walk-off is this. UConn, I think it's your turn to cut down the nets. I actually have him in the armchair quarterbacks bracket as well. So that would maybe put me in a chance to maybe compete for a top spot. And happy birthday to my grandma and my nanny out there. She's an avid listener of the show. She's always supporting the armchair quarterbacks in Braves country. She turns 82 today, I believe. So happy birthday, Grandma.
Well, happy birthday, Grandma. Is it Areola or is it another last name?
It's Areola. It's my pops' mom.
Hey, it took me a while to learn how to pronounce Areola, so you will learn how to pronounce Taillon. Trust me. My walk-off real quick, just a reminder, tomorrow night is the draft show. We're going to come on around 8:30 Eastern. Tones, I know you're not in that league, but if you do want to jump in and just talk some baseball, feel free. But it's usually a lot of fun, and we'll be showing the draft and everything like that. If you like fantasy baseball, if you want to learn about fantasy baseball, it's a good time. For all the guys and gals behind Armchair Quarterback Radio, I'm Mac McGee. Thanks for checking out Braves Country today. Keep it locked in here on the Key all night long. And tomorrow, catch Rhino Radio 7 to 10 a.m. We'll see ya.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha! Ha!
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Thursday, March 30th, it's opening day in Braves country. The Atlanta Braves travel to the Washington Nationals. First pitch, 1:05 Eastern. We'll have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play of your Atlanta Braves all season long, and it begins opening day. Make sure to tune in right here, Thursday, March 30th, 1:05 Eastern, opening day in Braves country on Braves Country HD.